This is Jim Inkster coming today on the show. We're slated to have a revisit from Senator Elbert Guillory, Republican from Opelousas. His YouTube message about why he joined the GOP a few weeks ago has generated over 764,000 views. That's more than 10 times the number of views that any YouTube video Governor Jindal has been on has been watched. So is Elbert Guillory the new face and voice of the Louisiana Republican Party on the national stage? We'll talk with Senator Guillory. Also, Fairleigh Cook Jackson on the 10th anniversary of Art Melt, which has become one of the major staples in our community at this time of the year. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Your numbers are 877-217-5757 or 297-5633, or you may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Yesterday, State Representative Jim Fannin of Jonesboro, chairman of the powerful House Budget Writing Committee, has announced that he is a Republican, a move that continues to widen the gap as far as representation in the Louisiana legislature. Fannin says he's leaving the Democratic Party because it no longer represents his political views or his constituents' views on issues such as marriage, gun rights, and abortion. If this sounds familiar, it should, because it was just over a month ago that Senator Elbert Guillory, then Democrat from Opelousas, announced that he was defecting to the GOP. And Senator Guillory, who is the only black member of the Louisiana legislature who is a Republican, posted a YouTube video that has generated over 764,000 views and going up, almost certainly will go over a million. To put that in perspective, Bobby Jindal has a lot of YouTube videos, and the most by far for him to be watched is 72,000 who saw his State of the Union address on YouTube. So Senator Guillory has received 10 times more views than Bobby Jindal, has been on all the national shows that Bobby Jindal has been on in the last few weeks, and some would say he, on the national level, he is the most famous and perhaps the titular head of the Republican Party in the great state of Louisiana. Good morning, Senator Elbert Guillory.
Good morning. After an introduction like that, I don't know what to do. I think I need to duck and hide.
Well, 764,000 views, and now you're a regular visitor on Fox News, one of the governor's favorite stopping places. You're getting a lot of attention nationally, and I don't think there's any doubt that now the national media are more enthralled with you than they are with Governor Jindal.
Well, we did get a good bump, I guess, publicity bump from that from the video, but I think that was just God's hand giving me an opportunity to bring His message to the people.
Well, are you flattered by this? Are you heartened by it? What's the next step? Are you going to run for president?
I'm definitely not going to run for president. I believe that my future lies in Louisiana. People have talked about running for different positions that would take me to Washington, D.C. I lived and worked in Washington, D.C. during the Nixon administration, and I have no desire to leave Louisiana. I have no desire to change America. I just want, if I'm going to make an impact, it will be in Louisiana. I believe that, and unless the Lord really turns me in a different direction, I'm going to be here, and anything that I run for will be here. I enjoy being in the Louisiana Senate. It's a great place to have an impact on people's lives, and I would like to be the best senator that Louisiana's ever had.
What about being a U.S. senator? Would you consider getting in the race against Senator Landrieu?
As a politician, I would never say never. I would consider any path. I have no choice but to consider any path that the Lord sets before me. My eyes are set on being the best senator that Louisiana ever had.
But if you ran against Landrieu, for example, I would imagine you might be able to get some African-American votes that Bill Cassidy or Bobby Jindal could not. and you would get a lot of Republican votes.
Those statistics have been presented to me. I believe that certainly is within the realm of possibility.
We're talking with Elbert Guillory, a man who at 68 years old, his life has just begun, a newborn Republican. I don't think there's any doubt that your name will be mentioned in a few places as far as a potential candidate. And your Senate seat, you have that until 2015, actually early 2016. So you've got some options between now and then.
Yes, sir, I have. It's a good place to be. I really do want to get a values message out, and I really do want to make a serious difference in the lives of the people of Louisiana. And I believe that the Lord has positioned me to be able to do both of those things.
297-5633, 877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines with Senator Guillory in a few moments. But I did want to at least allow our listeners to have a quick listen to the YouTube video, which runs over 4 minutes. We're not going to play the whole thing. But this is the message that Senator Guillory delivered that has received almost 800,000 views, likely to go over 1 million, and that's, as I stated, 10 times more than any YouTube video produced by Bobby Jindal has received. Here's Senator Guillory.
It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln.
Now there are those, Senator Guillory, who believe the Republican Party is somewhat different now than it was during the days that Abraham Lincoln was the head of the party.
I would certainly agree with that. Although I agree that times have changed and the parties have changed and the players have changed, still, on this day, the Republican Party adheres to and embraces the values of most Louisianans, certainly the people who I represent here in District 24, and of my own heart, values that are much closer to us. As Representative Fannin said, and I welcome him aboard the Republican juggernaut here. But when it comes to marriage and to abortion and to gun rights and to prayer, on all of the values issues, the Republican Party is closer to our hearts. Perfect? Not at all. No one is. But we will have a voice in crafting the policies and the direction of the Republican Party, and I believe that that would be a good thing. I also believe that it's been a detriment to the black community to be in the hip pocket of the Democrat Party. In this debate about immigration, for example, no one is interested in the black perspective. No one is interested in how 20 million new Americans will impact the black community. No one's asking about that. The Democrats, because we're in their hip pocket, and not the Republicans, because they don't know us, because we've been in the hip pocket of the Democrats.
You call it a Republican juggernaut. Elbert Guillory leading the charge, and now quite possibly is the best-known Republican nationally in the state of Louisiana, and this has all happened in about 6 weeks. Jim on Highland Road. Jim, good morning. You're on with Senator Elbert Guillory.
I'd just like to ask the senator a question. I met with him as head of the retirement committee and his attorney, and he promised that he would meet with the Earl K. Long and other people being laid off since he was chair of the retirement committee and explain to them their benefits, and he never did it. So he evidently talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk.
Well, there are many, many moments during a session. We certainly looked after. We did everything that we could to protect those rights. We were not able to meet with just because of a scheduling problem, we were not able to meet with those individuals, but the record will reflect that we did everything that we could under the circumstances to protect those rights of the people who worked at Earl K. Long and Lafayette and all of the other hospitals that were formerly part of the charity system but now are part of are being privatized. I was not a person who wished to see the privatization. I was not one of the persons who fought for that privatization, but as the retirement chairman, I have fought to protect the retirement rights of those persons who were in our systems and now have been placed into private systems.
Bruce and Walden. Bruce, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Albert Guillory.
Yeah, good morning. I just was hoping to hear from the senator his position on the veto override of the cuts to people with developmental disabilities, women who are facing violence, children's special health services. Did he support the veto override session?
The issues that called for or caused us to have a veto override issue, I was one of the persons supporting those issues. We in the Senate put that money into the budget because we felt strongly about those issues, about the NOW waivers, about domestic violence, all of those. I feel strongly about them. I don't know that a veto override is going to take place. I don't believe. I've called senators and I've called representatives and talked with them. I do not believe that the numbers are going to be there when the votes are counted this morning.
How did you vote?
Because of that, I don't know. I don't believe that that's going to work. There have to be some other ways of getting it done. And that's what we are working on and have been working on for the last several days.
But how did you vote, Senator?
I'm not able to.
How did you vote for? Did you vote for the veto session or against it?
Until the votes are made public, I'm not able to discuss my vote.
You're not?
That's correct.
I don't think there's a law against that, but it's just your policy, right?
It's not fair to all of the to my fellow senators for one of us to break ranks and to talk about his specific vote until the votes are made public. After they're made public, I'm ready to discuss it.
Okay.
But
discussing
the issues, it's important to understand that we in the Senate put the money there in the first place because we wanted it there. The governor took it out. There are several approaches to getting it back in. One of them is a veto session. If that does not work, then we have to go to Plan B or Plan C. But we intend to have that money in the budget spent by the state of Louisiana for the purposes that we put it in there in the first place.
Judy on I-10, please be brief. Hi, Judy.
All right, good morning. Good. As the daughter of civil rights workers, senator who gave you the right to actually be a senator in this state, saying that you're not going to break ranks or what you're going to do or not do, it's right and wrong. We don't want a state of sick, stupid people where we seem to have forgotten where we came from. And shame on you if you feel that you have to be so much of the rank and file that you're willing to let people who desperately need you be failed by the wayside. Thank you.
I understand your passion. I believe that some of it is misguided. The reason that we put the money there is because we wanted it there for those purposes. The reason that we are battling right now to make sure that that money gets spent for those purposes is because, as originally, we wanted it spent for those purposes. We're going to continue to do that. I have to work with the senators. I have to work with the president of the Senate. I'm not going to break ranks. I'm not going to tell until all the votes are counted and the matter is made public, it would be inappropriate. I have to work with. If we have to negotiate a deal to get that money into the budget, I have to be able to negotiate with persons who will not be angry with me because I sat on the radio and told people how I voted prematurely.
297-5633 or 877-217-5757. We'll take a short break. The 39-member Louisiana Senate now has a historic high of 25 Republicans, one short of two-thirds. Senator Albert Guillory is the latest to become a Republican. His YouTube message has drawn nearly 800,000 views, and he has become a national phenomenon. Senator Albert Guillory back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Senator Albert Guillory, the newborn Republican, is with us. His YouTube message has drawn almost 800,000 views and quite likely will go over a million very soon. It's only been up for a few days. He is a Republican from Opelousas, a man who has been around the political block for many years in other places as well. He's switched parties a few times as well, but this time it's gaining national attention. Lawmakers will not be returning to the Capitol to reconsider Governor Jindal's budget cuts. 26 of 39 senators voted to cancel this year's veto session, according to the vote tally posted this morning by Senator Dan Clater. So I haven't seen your vote, but now I think you're free, Senator Guillory. You can tell us how you voted.
Well, if I may just have one moment. One of your callers talked about the civil rights work that got me to be a senator. I didn't have to read in a history book, and no aging civil rights warrior has to tell me of how I got to where I am. My body still carries the physical scars. My mind still carries the emotional scars of that period because I was in the streets fighting at that time in the 1950s and the 1960s and the 1970s. I am that aging civil rights warrior, still fighting for the same purposes that I fought before and still doing it the way that I see it, the way that I believe is appropriate.
You were beaten up as a young man?
Yes, yes. Dog bite scar.
Dog bites? Where were you bitten?
On my right buttock.
On your right cheek?
Yes.
Okay, I would imagine that's was painful at the time and a reminder every day if you look in that area that you were in some difficult straits.
Yes, a large number of arrests and spat upon and pushed around and hit and...
That's horrible, and I would advise our callers to be considerate to this man. He made a decision, and some are obviously in agreement with this decision, and others are not, but he deserves the respect that any guest would receive, and I think he made it for legitimate purposes. Now, back to that veto session.
How did you
vote, Senator? We know 26 voted against it. Were you in the...
That means that a number of us did vote for it also. Until it's made public by the Senate, I will not have a comment on that.
Well, it was made public by Senator Clater this morning, but...
That's not the official... I respect my brother Dan Clater very much.
Well, you're certainly a better-known Republican than Senator Clater is, so yeah. Maybe you're the guy who should be delivering this news to the masses, not Senator Clater.
I'm going to wait for our leader, the president of the Senate, speaks for the Senate. And when he releases information after that, I'll be free to talk about it.
Right.
And I promise you that I will call you and tell you how I voted.
Well, it'd be nice if you not only told me, but told our thousands of listeners who are hanging on every word from Senator Albert Lee Guillory, Republican from Opelousas. But we'll see. Charles on North Foster. Good morning, Charles. You're on the air with Senator Guillory.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Senator Guillory. And I'm African-American and a graduate of HBCU like you, Senator, so I have two quick questions.
Now, wait a minute, Charles. We've got one question per caller, one question. So decide which pertinent question you want to ask, and we'll be happy to entertain your question for Senator Guillory. Charles?
Anna has violated the civil rights of tens of thousands of Louisiana school children by separate and unequal testing.
All right. What about the testing of school children? Is that a racially discriminatory process in our state?
I think it's bad for everyone. I really, really do. The high-stakes testing, if a kid sits in a classroom for 9 months and he satisfies the teacher who's certified to teach, the kid is passed. I mean, there are kids who have done 4-0 work for 9 months, A work for 9 months, and then they cannot pass, for some reason, they cannot pass these high-stakes tests. and the kid then is in a lot of hot water. I think the testing has not been good for Louisiana. It's not been good for Louisiana's kids. I don't like it. I voted against it, and we are starting to pass laws as we started this past session. We're starting to cut back on those tests. And in our discussions with Superintendent White, I believe that we will be successful in eliminating what's called high-stakes testing for Louisiana. Don't like it. I agree.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Elbert Guillory.
Yes, Senator. If, as you say, it's not good for the African-Americans to be, in the grasp of the Democratic Party, do you feel that that's also the case that the corporate interest and the white redneck shouldn't be in the pocket of the Republicans?
Well, I believe that persons who are not in favor of equality and disparity, I believe that they're fairly well spread through the Democrats and Republicans. The issue for me is that we not put all of our eggs in one basket and not marginalize our community by being all in one little spot. We have to spread ourselves around so that we have a voice in every party and in every room where decisions are made. One of the reasons that I made this switch is so that I can be in the rooms where decisions are being made, and they're being made by Republicans in the state of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Louisiana, are there a lot of limousine liberals out there, Senator Guillory, people who talk the talk, but then when it comes to practice, they live in their all-white neighborhoods, some in all-white country clubs. They send their kids to all-white schools. What do you think?
I don't see too many limousines lined up at the Capitol where the decisions that I'm interested in are being made. People live in many places and they have many lifestyles. My only concern would be how they treat fellow human beings. As long as they are committed to giving everyone the opportunity. This is the land of opportunity. America is the most wonderful place on earth because we are the land of opportunity. If you come to America, you can do what you want to do, be what you want to be. It just depends on how much grit you have and how much sweat you're willing to give up. As long as those folks who live at the country club adhere to that basic principle, I'm fine with them.
Barrington,
I want more of us to go live in the country club atmosphere.
You strive to live in a country club?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact, but I would like for more of us to be able to do that. I prefer to live way out in the country.
Who are we talking about when we say us? We're talking about you and me? Are we talking about black people or the population as a whole? Who's us?
The us that I'm speaking of is the black population. I would like more black folk to live the American dream and to go and live in the country club and play golf.
Well, some of them can't even play golf, much less live in a country club. There's one country club here in our city that does not allow African-Americans to play on its course.
Jim, let's go and play there.
I'm all for that.
That's a deal.
I tell you what, if we show up, it'll be a story.
Let's do it. I make my commitment to you. Let us go there. I will contact you privately.
I'm not a member, so we will have to get a member to let us play, but whoever the brave member is may end up having some membership issues if this occurs, but let's see if we can make it happen.
Let's do it.
297-5633. Barrington Neal, a fine attorney, writes, I've heard that the senator switched parties in 2007 from Republican to Democrat to get elected. Now I believe his switch back to the GOP is simply more political expediency. What do you say to Barrington?
There are two reasons that I made the switch. One has to do with values and where I'm comfortable, and I've explained that in earlier in this show. And the other is the matter of politics. I was elected to go and represent my district. I cannot represent that district by standing on the outside looking in. I am on the inside where decisions are made.
877-217-5757. We'll return to the phone lines in just a moment. I'm trying to sift through some emails as we speak. Here's one from John Williams saying, a few weeks ago I received Mr. Gilrey's link from a citizen in Alabama. The person sent it to me knowing that I am a lifelong Democrat and hoping to stir me up. To be honest, I believe that many Southern Republicans, such as my friend, are racist. I can't think of a Republican friend of mine who does not equate welfare benefits to blacks, even though this is not the case, and they want it eliminated. More poor whites and others depend on various government programs to survive, especially in a weak economy. You only have to see how Republicans are in Southern, how Republicans in Southern states are handling immigration to know how they feel about anyone non-white. That from John Williams. Your response, Senator Gilrey?
Well, I don't believe that anyone should be left out. I do believe that many people would like to close the doors to opportunity, but my feeling is, and I believe that the values of the Republican Party itself, and I certainly agree that not everyone adheres to that, but those values are that there should be, first, there should be a safety net for people who are not able to fall through the cracks, who are not able to achieve the American dream. But as a Republican, the Republican Party really is committed to the opportunity, to open the doors of opportunity so that everyone can come and live the American dream. It's about opportunity and access to opportunity.
Well, your first message when you switched parties, Senator, indicated that you thought the Democratic Party had a role in the breakdown of families. I'm quoting you, their support of dependence over self-reliance of everything but traditional marriage, of abortion on demand. Their policies have encouraged the high teen birth rates, high school dropout rates, high incarceration rates, and very high unemployment rates. Do you blame that on your former party?
Yes, the Democrat Party maintains a large government plantation, and they do that by giving little handouts to people, keeping them not only on the plantation, but beholding to the Democrat Party. That's statistics. Just bear that out clearly. The way to overcome that is, again, opportunity. It's about having a good education system so that the kids can graduate from high school prepared to do something of serious value to society and not go into the criminal justice system. It's having a good junior college and technical college system where people can go and learn trades. And then it's having a good four-year university system where our kids can become the highly educated leaders that we need. It's making sure that all of those doors are open to all Americans.
297-5633 is your number. Another email, Debbie asks or writes, said, Senator Gilrey last time on WRKF said Richard Nixon was his hero. Does the senator stand by that statement?
Richard Nixon opened the doors of higher education to minorities in a way that no other person has. Richard Nixon opened the doors to government contracting to minorities, opened those doors to minorities in a way that no other president has, including the man who's sitting in the White House today. History bears that out. And Richard Nixon breathed life into affirmative action. 72, 73, those early 70s. It was Nixon's administration that turned this nation's attention to correcting past wrongs and to creating a level playing field. Nixon did that. He's my hero.
He's your hero. You've said that twice now, and I believe you, that you love the man from Yorba Linda, Richard Milhouse Nixon. What about you becoming the, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, you're the best-known Republican in Louisiana on the national level right now, 800,000 hits on YouTube. That hasn't happened to, I don't know of any Democrat who's gotten that kind of action from YouTube in this state. You're hot stuff right now, Senator Guillory. A lot hotter than the governor is.
Well, the Lord has given me a platform to deliver this message, and I hope that that I will be up to what he wants me to do.
Well, you people know who you are. You could raise gobs of money to run for U.S. Senate, for governor, for president. I would say that if you want to, you can aim high.
Well, we'll be guided by his direction and walk his path.
Certainly doesn't sound like you're ruling anything out.
No, I would never say never. Would not rule anything out. He hasn't shown me a way. I'm to live to do what he has me doing right now.
Jacob,
and right now,
you're on the radio with me.
That's correct. planning a very interesting golf game.
I'm glad you're fixated on that golf game. I hope we can pull this off. Jacob on Independence. Jacob, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Elbert Guillory.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to know the senator's opinion on the issue of drug legalization, considering how it disproportionately affects African Americans in our community and how Louisiana itself has such a tremendous population in prison. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
43 years as a criminal defense lawyer. I am a long-time advocate of decriminalization of things like marijuana that criminalize behavior. The last three presidents have admitted that they've smoked marijuana, and they're sitting in the White House. I got a whole bunch of clients who over the years have smoked a small amount of marijuana, done nothing more than that, and they have felony convictions on their records. And some of them have gone to jail. It's atrocious. It's a waste of human capital and a waste of taxpayers' dollars to run behind these small drug users. Many states are decriminalizing. I certainly hope that Louisiana will also.
Rhonda in Jackson, Louisiana. Hi, Rhonda. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Turn it down, Larry.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Okay. I have a question for the senator. Does he know how civil service, the state civil service in Louisiana, came about back in the 40s or 50s and why it was created for state employees?
As I recall, there were large numbers of there was a lot of corruption in the hiring and firing of individuals, a lot of politics, and we wanted to remove the politics and the corruption from that and set a fair opportunity for people to get into government service. And I think that has worked fairly well.
297-5633 is your number. We'll spend a bit more time with Senator Elbert Guillory. This is the time to get in with him if you want to ask a question in our remaining time. 877-217-5757, wherever you are, back in 90 seconds with Elbert Guillory. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. A few more minutes with Senator Elbert Guillory, who's been generous with his time today. A hot commodity on the national scene with over 764,000 views on YouTube of his party switch message. Wash on Chippewa. Wash, good morning. You're on with Senator Guillory. Hi, Wash.
How are you this morning?
Fine. You're on
okay.
The air.
Okay. How you doing, Senator? How you doing?
We're doing fine. What's your question?
Department of Education. I'm talking about education now. Education, you know, is this country is about leaders, you know, people, inventors, you know, going the distance. But now it's something called training for treason that the Department of Education is making the whole entire school system teach all students the same. And you know people not the same. And look what can we do about that, you know? I mean, trying to make all teachers just be the same with all the students.
Senator?
I'm certainly not in favor of that. Education worked for hundreds of years in America, and the American education system had us in the 1930s and 40s at the very top of the world. Now we're around 27, depends on who you're listening to, between 27 and 58 in ranking internationally. No, I don't believe that you should force all students to be taught all things. That the different kinds of students with different kinds of abilities, and we should do that. You know, during the last 30 years, we have let our education system get so bad that more than 40% of the schools in Louisiana are poorly performing schools. And I would point out that most of those poorly performing schools are in minority communities. We've got to do better. We've got to do better for everyone. We certainly have to do better for the minority community.
Freddie in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Freddie. You're on the air with Senator Guillory.
Yes, Senator Guillory. My question is concerning boards, commission, regulatory bodies, and their makeup, you know, with larger majority. What's your take on that in these regulatory bodies?
I believe that administrative agencies play a very important role in our lives. They do have rule-making authority. I support that. It's an efficient and fast way of getting work done. I believe that there should be good legislative oversight to make sure that what they're doing is fair to everyone and good economic business. But yes, I support the administrative process.
297-5633, just a few more minutes with Senator Guillory. Kevin says we can take a call or two. Let's try Dorothy on Goodwood. Hi, Dorothy. You're on with Senator Guillory.
Good morning, Senator. This is Dorothy from Opelousas also. I wanted to ask you why you were at the donkey romp, if this was a long-time decision.
First of all, I'm glad to hear from another Opelousa. I have attended the donkey romp and the elephant stump both every year that I've been in the legislature. It is where legislators congregate. They talk and eat and drink, and it's a social atmosphere, and a lot of work is done there. It's a great opportunity to meet with one's colleagues and to get business done, the business of Louisiana. So I don't intend to miss an elephant stump or a donkey romp as long as I'm in the legislature.
You're going to keep going to your donkey romp and your elephant stomp.
Absolutely, as I have done all along.
Well,
I have many beloved colleagues who are Democrats. I'm going to work with them. We have to work together to get the business of Louisiana forward. That's what it's about. We're not going to let something as trivial as party divide us.
Well, I'll tell you what, since you're the best-known Republican in Louisiana now, you don't run from microphones, and I appreciate that, and hopefully we'll have occasion to talk with you frequently, Senator Albert Guillory.
It has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
A couple of things, though. What was the occasion for the dog bite you mentioned?
There was a demonstration, and there were a number of police dogs that were turned on us to break. We were marching in columns, and the police dogs were let loose on us to break those columns. It was very successful. A dog bite is something that you carry for some time. You notice that it bit me in the back, which means that I was running away from that dog. I can tell you that I increased my speed tremendously after that day. I worked very hard on being able to outrun dogs.
What kind of dog was it?
German Shepherd.
And where was this?
In the South.
The South?
Yes, the southern part of the United States.
Like Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama?
Yes, sir.
One of those states? You're being coy, Senator.
One of those states. I don't like to call upon one particular place. We were in Alabama, we were in Louisiana, we were in Mississippi. We were in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. This was many years ago, and although the scar has healed, we have some serious recollections of those events that took place. But I wouldn't want to single out a state to say that they were that brutal, because they were.
Now, as far as this golf game, this is a private club we're talking about. I would prefer to be law-abiding and to have an invite from a member. So if there is an invite coming from a member of the Baton Rouge Country Club for Senator Guillory and yours truly to play a round of golf there, we're in, right?
Yes, we are.
I'd like that.
So would I.
Well, let's see if it happens.
Now, I'm a rotten golfer, but I do own some golf sticks, and we'll go and do it.
You're probably better than I am, but for this occasion, it would be a historic event. So I think it's something that would be great for our community. Not that I'm there, but that you're there.
Well, the two of us doing this together, I think, makes a statement.
Well, I'd love that. So let's see if we can make it happen. Thank you, Senator Elbert Guillory.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're joined in studio now by Fairleigh Cook Jackson. She'll lead off, who, of course, is the arts matron of all matrons in Baton Rouge. Not matronly, but
an art. Titles that I get from each of them. They're wonderful.
And she is here to talk about the 10th anniversary. That's hard to believe. 10 years of Art Melt.
Yes, 10 years.
Starting tonight.
Yes, tonight is the 10th anniversary Art Melt Invitational at the LSU Museum of Art. It's going to be the reception is going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. And, of course, it's free for the members of the museum, or you can join when you get there, or you can pay $10 to come in and celebrate Art Melt and Form 35. And this is the Invitational, so it's a retrospective show. So, basically, we are featuring the 9 past Best in Show winners from each year of Art Melt. And then we have all of the posters from each year and information on how the event has evolved. And then, of course, the 2013 Art Melt will open next Friday with a preview party, and then Saturday. And I know Jesse will touch on great things
and
happening.
The Jesse you mentioned, there are a lot of Jessies in the world. Jesse Jackson, Jesse Helms. There's Jesse Hoggard,
yes.
Who, of course, is another man about the arts in our community. And you're not only involved in this, but in other endeavors.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about what's going on in your world, Jesse.
Well, we are busy as bees getting Art Melt keyed up for next week. It's going to be an exciting weekend of events that celebrate the arts and celebrate artists. And Fairleigh can tell you because she was there pretty much from the beginning, but Art Melt has just kind of ballooned into this exceptional, exciting event downtown that recognizes Louisiana artists and introduces art to people who maybe don't get to experience it every day. In addition to the gallery show, where people will be able to see the selections for this year, there's going to be cultural performances, live dance, live music, bands, food trucks, kind of the whole nine yards. It's all taking place down at the Capitol House Museum, the Louisiana State Museum,
right?
AKA on Friday, the preview party, and then Saturday is the event itself.
All right. Well, tonight at the fifth floor,
yes, sir.
At the LSU Museum of Art at the Shaw Center, there will be a ceremony, the 10th anniversary Art Melt Invitational with Fairleigh Cook Jackson and thousands of her closest friends. There will be a lot of people.
I think so. You know, there's people really love this event. It's been embraced by the community. Really since the beginning. You know, when John Jackson started this event, you know, the goal was to have an event where people who didn't
You're related to him, right?
I am related
she claims
to him. You know, he wanted artists to really have access to an audience, like Jesse said, that typically wasn't always at museum openings and the such. So there are a lot of devoted followers for Art Melt. We've had our criticisms over the years, and I think grown wonderfully with those with the criticism. And you know, one of the great things about Art Melt are the jurors who actually participate in the process of selecting these works. And, you know, the committee strives each year to find 3 really qualified, well-established jurors who have 5 years at least experience in the curatorial world, and we're celebrating them as well for the 10th anniversary Art Melt. They'll be listed. And then I know this year's jurors were an amazing pool, including the executive director of the LSU Museum of Art, Jordana Pomeroy.
Well, the 10th Forum 35 Art Melt will officially take place. Now, tonight's the invitational, which I presume means you have to have an invitation.
No, an invitational means the artists who are participating were invited.
So
anyone is invited, especially our members come get in for free, and then for a $10 admission charge, we invite everyone to come. DJ Otto will be spinning tunes, Strubies will have food, and we'll
have
beverages.
Come off the street, Senator Guillory and I can, my new best friend.
Right after your golf game, you can come on in and play.
We can come down and...
You guys can donkey rock and elephant stomp your way
there you
off
go.
Through
there
the fifth
go.
Floor.
But the big event, if there is anything bigger than tonight, will take place week from tomorrow,
right?
July 20th, 5 to 11 at the Capitol Park Museum, which is the Louisiana State Museum. And that should be a spectacle.
Yes. I know, and Jesse can talk more about this, but I know their committee has been working really hard. They have a educational panel that's happening, and they'll be celebrating the Louisiana Legend Award. I don't know if you want to talk about
Jesse. The panel will be a neat thing. It's called State of the Arts. This year the focus is on public art, so the discussion will center around what is public art, how do different people define public art, does it have to be a sculpture outside in a courtyard somewhere, or can it be graffiti? We've got several great panelists, representatives from the BR Walls Project, Better Block BR, LSU, the Baton Rouge Gallery, Crest Gallery. That's going to be a great opportunity, moderated by a great friend of Forum, Stafford Kendall. That's going to kickstart our events on Saturday at 5 o'clock. The galleries will open shortly thereafter, mm-hmm. and people will be able to see. If they haven't gone to the preview party yet, which we encourage them to do so, they'll be able to see the named winners after that.
So when you turn 35, are you booted out of, or 36, are you booted out of Forum 35?
I haven't been kicked out yet. But I...
She's grandfather to grandmother then, right? It's when we talked about this last time, and I appreciate you keeping on me about it, but... anyone can be a member of Forum 35 at any age. I believe that 35 is sort of a misnomer. When you turn 40, you technically just don't have a vote, but
really?
You still have a voice.
So at 40, you're kind of eased off, eased on down the road, right?
Gently.
We allow you to retire.
But how many members are there of Forum 35?
We have around 500 currently.
500?
Yes, sir.
And this organization has become quite a, to use Senator Guillory's word, juggernaut in our community.
We hope so. Juggernaut for good, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, it's something that the organization is really productive in events all year round, and there's none bigger than Art Melt. So I would imagine all 500 members are working fervently to make tonight and a week from tonight and next Saturday a spectacular showcase of our city and everything that the art show stands for. Well, what about the show itself?
As far as the invitational goes, it's been a really great process. Our curator at the museum, Natalie Malt, has curated the show. Obviously, the only artists that were invited were the 9 past winners. But when it all went up and we're stepping back and we're looking at it, it's just an amazing exhibition because the artists are so diverse. And I think that's a result of the jury process. And every medium is represented. We have an installation piece by Ralph Bork. We have photography by Kelly Eisworth. Sculptural mixed media by Maggie McConnell. It really just came together, and I think is a true reflection on how diverse the artwork has been in Art Melt and how the jury process has worked successfully.
The 10th annual event, how much preparation is involved, Fairly?
Well, this has been a very different experience for me. I've always been on the Forum 35 volunteer side, and from a museum perspective, it's a whole, it takes things to a whole different level. So I've learned a lot as far as this goes, and the staff at the museum has been so wonderfully patient with all of us, mm-hmm. and we're so grateful for mm-hmm. that. And just learning honestly what Art Melt has meant to these artists has been so powerful, and their quotes will be up on the wall. I know one artist in particular mentioned that her cash award she used to then put down as a deposit on the studio that she was to create art in for the next 6 years. So it's a very powerful event.
Well, good luck in the next few days and throughout the next year as you prepare, I'm sure, for Art Melt 11. Because neither Jesse nor Fairley are 40 years old.
We are getting there, though.
Yeah, well, slowly but surely.
All right. Well, we'll see you Monday. For Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Hope everybody has a good weekend and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.